just want to reiterate my invitation to everyone. You know, tonight, if you're around, we're having a Limud Kumsitz barbecue in my house at Scholzen number 16. Okay, Rabbi said there's a sugi here that we never got around to, and that's the sugi of Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum, which begins on Ches Amid Alf and goes on to Ches Amid Beis. And truth be told, for me, this is a work in progress. I'm not there yet, trying to understand what's going on here. We'll read through the Gemara quickly, point out a few Rashis and Tosfosin, and some of it we'll read inside, some of it we won't. I want to raise a number of questions that bother my mind. I hope they bothered you as well. So it's the last line in Ches Amid Alf. Omar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Ami Li Olam Yashlim Odom Parshiosov Im Hatzibur Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. The word Parshiosov in the possessive is a little bit strange. I would have expected the Gemara to say Yashlim Adam Eskol Parsha Uparsha Im Hatzibur. What's the emphasis on Parshiosov? And I would suggest that before we look at Rashi, we would think on our own that Parshiosov means his Parshios. No? That would be my assumption, my translation, although frankly speaking, it doesn't make much sense. What does it mean, Parshiosov? His Parshios. I mean, who's Parshios if not his? Or why not the Torah's Parshios? Why his Parshios? Rashi is not happy with this. And he comes up with a whole new pshat in what Parshiosov means. If our pshat is to be justified without Rashi, then perhaps the emphasis here of Rav Huna is that a person has to maintain a certain commitment, if you will, to his parshios. So he's up to a certain parsha, and he's trying to keep in pace, keep abreast with the tzibur. But nevertheless, even though you have a possession of the tzibur on that parsha, for example, this week we're up to Parshas Bahar here in these parts of the world, so the tzibur sort of possesses Parshas Bahar, he may be lagging behind, or for that matter, he may be ahead. Could it be then, and we'll see in some poskim, that he doesn't actually have to, maybe lechatchil he should, but he doesn't have to actually keep a pace with the tzibur, and if he falls behind, he's got to finish it within a certain period of time, but not necessarily to reflect that parasha of the tzibur. So we'll see that later on. Rashi assumes that Yashlim Parshiosov shall call Shabbos v'Shabbos. It's not his parashios, but the parasha belongs to the Shabbos. The word Shabbos could sometimes be in Lashon Zachar, sometimes could be Lashon Nekeva. In this case, it's in Lashon Zachar. Rashi would seem, therefore, to tip the scale in favor of that particular Shabbos. And there has to be a synchronization, if you will, between his Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum and the Parsha of that Shabbos. Not a different Parsha, Shelo Yakdim V'Lo Shelo Ya'acher. Would you agree with that? That's what Rashi learns.
The shahar would be that you prepare before you hear the Bal Koreh open his mouth. I'm sure. And then you follow and understand.
So you would justify then that Rashi wants you to, and it's an absolute requirement maybe, that you have to connect with the parshios of the tzibur. Now, when Rashi uses the word Shabbos, is that just an easy way of communicating to us? You know, if you want to know what that parsha is, open up a luach and, you know, find that Shabbos and you'll figure out what parsha they're reading. Maybe that's it. Or is it possible, which again I don't understand why, but I'm just saying mathematically that Rashi wants to make a direct connection between this requirement of Shnayim Mikra Vechetargum and Shabbos itself. Almost as if to say that the fulfillment of Shnayim Mikra Vechetargum is a Kiyum in Shabbos. Of course, you'll ask me, how could there be a Kiyum in Shabbos when it's not Shabbos? Because Rashi's not requiring you to read the parasha on Shabbos, is he? I don't know. He's being requiring you lahashlim. Here the word lahashlim becomes very critical. That he should complete the parasha and synchronize his completion of the parasha with the Shabbos. But is it possible that when Rashi says Shabbos, he means more than just a technical method of identifying which parasha you're supposed to be reading that week? That's true, it's the parasha of Shabbos. But maybe even more than that, perhaps on a conceptual level, Rashi wants to connect this kiyum with Shabbos. And here I want to raise the following question, which I want to get back to a little bit later, but let's put it on the table from the start. The Rambam, which is the second source on your page, codifies this halacha of Shnayim Mikra Vechetargum where? You know, this is what we call Rambam geography. Where? In Hilchas Tefillah. That's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, even though he quotes the Rambam verbatim, I mean, not much word for word, I couldn't find too many discrepancies, but yet, where does he codify these halachas? In Hilchas Shabbos. In fact, this is a bit strange, because in the Rambam's frame of reference, I'd love to understand the connection between this requirement and Hilchas Tefillah. It doesn't sound like a Tefillah halacha. Had the Rambam classified or codified these halachas in Hilchas Talmud Torah, that I could have accepted. But on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch, by placing it in Hilchas Shabbos, again, if he's just telling me something technical, so that we know how to identify the parasha that we're up to for Shnayim Mikra Vechetargum, and it's the parasha that we're going to read that Shabbos, okay, Nicha. But if it's something more conceptual, once again, is it possible that Parsha Yosef shall call Shabbos for Shabbos somehow connects this mitzvah, this obligation, with Shabbos itself? So Rabbosai, just to take a little bit of a digression for a moment, is there any sort of kiyum of Shabbos that's fulfilled during the week itself? Am I crazy for thinking
no,
so?
Can't you do Havdalah and show like another way? Can't you say?
Oh, so Yehuda, you're right, and Mitch is right too. But what Mitch, I think, is saying something very fundamental. And what pasuk should we quote? At least according to Beit Shammai, maybe even according to Beit Hillel. Zachar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho is according to Beit Shammai, if you find something good, whether it's some very special food or clothing, on Sunday you should set it aside for Shabbos. If you're lucky enough and you find something better on Monday, so eat the food from that you set aside on Sunday. But you see that the mitzvah of Zachar es Yom HaShabbos is not limited to Shabbos itself, although it definitely includes the mitzvah of Kiddush, which is limited to Shabbos, but in a more expansive way, it includes preparing for the Shabbos, setting things and designating them for the Shabbos, the beginning of the week. And moreover, even though we don't accept, you know, Shammai Shita, we go with Hillel HaZaken, and Hillel HaZaken says you can always rely on Hashem, will come through. So if you get a piece of a very good piece of meat on Sunday, don't worry, Hashem will guarantee to eat it for dinner on Sunday. Right, I remember I used to go in the summers to visit my in-laws in Fleischmann's, New York. There's a if anybody knows of it, there's a hotel there, open, it's owned by the Oppenheimers, you know, Fleischmann's, New York. So Sunday night was the big steak night, you know. So I was always wondering if Shammai Azaki would have been happy about that. You have all these wonderful rib steaks, maybe you should save them for Shabbos. In any event, Hillel has you know, the reliance on Hashem. But the Ramban writes in Parshas Yisro, very interesting, that you shouldn't call the names of the days of the week by anything other than their relationship to Shabbos, Hayom Yom Rishon v'Shabbos. I'm like Sfiris over here. But I'm not going to tell you what yesterday was. But in any event, and the reason for that, says the Ramban, is because of the mitzvah of Zacharis Yom Shabbos l'Kadsho. So you see that even though we reject Shammai l'Halacha, but conceptually Shammai is correct in his definition of the relationship between the week and Shabbos. The week itself is connected to the Shabbos. And perhaps another expression or another reflection of this connection between the weekdays and the Shabbos is going to succeed that those weekdays is the halach of Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targu. Meaning, it's not coincidental that the Shulchan Aruch classifies the halachas of Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targu in Hilchos Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch really feels that it belongs in Hilchos Shabbos. We'll have to understand that the Rambam disagrees with that. And the fact that Rashi understands that Liolam Yashem Olam Parshiosov means Parshiosov shall call Shabbos for Shabbos, not just as a pointer, you know, that's the parsh that we're up to. You know, like they have the, you know, the those fancy calendars, not the calendars, what do they call it, the Luach, you know, the... How you say it in English? What's it called in English, Harvey?
A notice board.
No, not the notice... Yeah, it's a notice board, but you know what I'm talking about, that...
electronic.
That electronic one... Do you have it in your shul? We don't have it here, but it's a beautiful thing because it's always, it tells you, you know, if there's the Alviyavo, it tells you what Sfira, when is Shkia, when is this. The Shtivel, they have it here. I don't know what the word for it is in English. There's a word for it, but anyway. So is Shabbos just tell you the Parsha Shavua Shabbos so that you'll know with this Shabbos, that's the Shnayim Mikra. Or is it more than that? The Shnayim Mikra, in a sense, is going to be connected to Shabbos. What I find very odd is that if the Rambam feels that Hilchus Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum should be classified in Hilchus Tefillah for some odd reason, the Shulchan Aruch is definitely influenced by the Rambam. What do I mean he's influenced by the Rambam? If you take a look in Hilchos Tefillah, then in the Shulchan Aruch, you have Simon Kuf Lamed Hei, which is in Hilchos Tefillah, it's called Seder Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, now I'm not going to read the next three words. Anybody know what the next three words are that I left out? But anyway, Seder Kriyas HaTorah. What do you say? Excellent. So you know what I'm about to say. And yet, in Simon Reish Pei Beis, which is already Hilchos Shabbos, there he codifies the halacha of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, I just finished telling you that Seder Kriyas HaTorah is in Kuf Lamed Hei in Hilchos Tefillah. Now I just told you that Seder Kriyas HaTorah is in Reish Pei Beis in Hilchos Shabbos. The answer is, as Rabbi Sachnu says very well, that Kuf Lamed Hei Seder Kriyas HaTorah is the next three words, B'yom Sheni V'Chamishi. And the Shulchan Aruch, I think, impacted by the Rambam, as he always is, classifies Kriyas HaTorah, at least with regard to Sheni V'Chamishi, as Halach and Tefillah. Whereas, when he gets the Kriyas HaTorah V'Amaftir B'Shabbos, then of course he classifies it in Hilchos Shabbos. And again, if the Shulchan Aruch is more than just technical, then I derive the following possible conclusion, and that is that the public reading of the Torah, and we'll see how this impacts on the private reading of the Torah of Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum, is really split into two. There is an element of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur which belongs to Hilchos Tefillah, and there's an element of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur that belongs to Hilchos Shabbos. Which means that according to the Shulchan Aruch, there basically are two different takanas in Kriyas HaTorah. One is the takanas Kriyas HaTorah that somehow is a tefillah halacha, and we have to understand what the relationship is. And the other is halacha of Kriyas HaTorah, the takana was made for Shabbos. This is going to embellish and enhance our fulfillment, our observance of Shabbos. So in a certain sense, the Shulchan Aruch is on the same page as the Rambam, but he's not willing to take it all the way. When he gets to Kriyas HaTorah B'Shabbos, there he parts ways with the Rambam. Where does the Rambam classify the halachas of Talmud Torah, of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos? Again in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam writes, Perek Yud Beis, Mihilchas Tfila, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikin, Shukarim B'Torah B'Rabim B'Shabbos, U'B'Sheni V'Chamishi, and he dedicates two full chapters, Perek Yud Beis and Perek Yud Gimel, in Hilchas Tfila, to the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. At the end of Perek Yud Gimel, there the Rambam says, Afal Pisha Odom, Shomea Kol HaTorah Kula, Bitzibur, nevertheless, Chayv Likros Liatzmo. What does the word Liatzmo mean? I'm not that dumb, but what I mean conceptually, what does it mean Liatzmo? Again, I'll read the Rambam again. Afal Pisha Odom Shomea Kol HaTorah Bitzibur, Chayv Likros Liatzmo. What is the Rambam telling me? That there are two kiyumim in Kriyas HaTorah. One is a kiyum Sibur, and the other is a kiyum Yochid. And it's interesting that the Rambam codifies both the kiyum Tzibur of Kriyas HaTorah as well as the kiyum Yochid of Kriyas HaTorah v'shnayim mikra v'chatagum in Hilchas Tefillah. So in other words, the Rambam has a package deal. He's got an indivisible unit called Kriyas HaTorah, and we could subdivide that unit into three different parts. Number one, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur B'Shabbos. Number two, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur Sheni V'Chamishi. And number three, Kriyas HaTorah Al Yedei HaYachid. And that, says the Rambam, is Lufi Seder Shel Osa Shabbos, Shnayim Mikra V'Yachid Targum, and all three subcategories of Kriyas HaTorah, whether it's Tzibur Sheni v'chamishi, Tzibur Shabbos, or the Yochid, they're all subcategorized, they're all classified under Hilchos Tefillah. Now let me mention a few questions that bother me. First of all, and you all know who I'm referring to here, one of the Rishonim here prominently raises the following question. Targum? Who needs Targum? If you're French, read it in French. If you're Italian, read it in Italian. Where's Jackie? And you read it Lelaz, it's Belaz, which is a sugya Masechta Megillah with regard to Megillas Esther. And we might want to apply the same logic to Shnayim Mikra V'Echad. Instead of Targum, I would say V'Echad translation. We'll call it that. In other words, to translate it. It's not Targum, but it's Tirgum. You know, it's Targum means is a special entity called Targum. Then you could be metargame it into any language, the vernacular that's spoken in that area, or even if you're out of your country, for that person who understands laws. So who am I referring to? Tosfos. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says right off the bat, Yesh Mefarshim Hu Adin Liloazis Bilaz Sholehem Avi Kamo Targum. So Tosfos, there's no separate halach of Targum here. Targum does not have any special status in this halacha. In this context, it's simply translation. And translation means into the language that you understand. If you don't understand the translation, it's meaningless. But if you understand the translation, that's fine. L'lo'aziz b'laz shelohem. And Tosus, in fact, rejects this pshat. And Tosus v'lo nehira. This is on Chesam and Beis. And he says that indeed, Rav Yosef teaches us that Targum will reveal insights into the Torah way beyond their translation. Which means that Targum is not just a translation, it has a separate status. In fact, I would even call it a part and parcel of Torah Sheba'al Peh. The way Torah Sheba'al Peh, again, it wasn't written until Leis Lasos Lashem, but it was transmitted orally, and the transmission of Targum is part and parcel of the valid and qualified, well, I say, you know, something that has a legal status in halacha of Targum, and translation is not enough. Why? Because the Targum is going to teach me things that I don't know. Again, I find that hard to apply to myself personally. I don't know about the Olam here. I find it, you know, difficult to understand new insights by reading the Targum. I barely understand the word of Targum. It's like, you know, Taich in the Yiddish Chadorim, you know. The kids learn Yiddish because they understand the Hebrew of the Torah, not because the Taich tells them what the Pasuk means. Here also, the only way I understand Targum is because I understand the Chumash. If I didn't understand the Chumash, I would certainly with the Kal V'Chomer not understand Targum. But obviously, when Ezra made the Takana, that Targum should be integrated into Kriyas HaTorah, And in some communities, in Yemenite communities, to this day they do this. I think they do it here up the block, no? Do they have Targum? Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, Yechiel, there are shuls that have Targum, right? And now in the Chovas Yachid of Shnai Mikra, we also add the element of Targum. Now I come to my question. So what is the machlokas between the Yesh Mefarshim and Tosfos? What are they arguing about? Do they have two different conceptual understandings of the nature of this mitzvah, of this chova, of Shnai Mikra, V'yechid Targum? And then Afkamina is going to be Lozis.
Historically,
yeah.
Targum didn't start by Yisrael.
When I hear that introduction, I get nervous. Yeah,
Targum is in the first century or so. Ukos, let's say.
It's before Ezra.
After Ezra.
So there must have been a Targum that was already existing even before Uncles. Is that what you're saying? Because the Gemara says Beferish Bava Kama that Ezra was misaking Targum. If you have a Gemara Bava Kama pay Beis, in that sugya it says that Ezra was misaking that not only should they read Torah Shebichsav, they should also read the Targum.
But the Targum is pre-existing from Moshe's time, supposedly.
Oh, excellent, Mitch. How do you know that?
What was that?
It's a sugya nedarim. It's a sugya mesecta nedarim. How do I know the sugya mesecta nedarim and not learning nedarim? So if you take a look in the pages that I gave you on page 3, you'll see in Sif Beis, this is the Aruch HaShulchan. I have an agenda today. I'm a big Aruch HaShulchan fan. And if you doubt it for yourselves, meaning if you don't appreciate the great contribution of the Aruch HaShulchan after today, I hope you will. But if you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Reish Pei Hey, Seif Beis, on page 3 of your Mar Makomos, you will see if you count down, well, let's say count up from the bottom of the paragraph 3 lines up, he says, after he tells you that the Targum is Karav Lashon HaKodesh, V'nitan B'Sinai. That's what Mitch was saying. K'namrina B'nidorim Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. So in any event, Targum has a special status. And obviously the machlokas between the Yesh Mefarshim in Tosfos and Tosfos himself, the Lone Hira and the Maskon of Tosfos, revolves around the requirement or the absence of the requirement of reading Targum of special status as part of this Kiyum of Shnayim Mikra of V'yechid Targum. So let's just summarize a few of that questions. Question number one. And if somebody, again, I'm looking for Avi, are you good, note taker? If anybody could take notes for me, because I'm going to forget this. Question number one is why the Rambam insists on classifying both Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur and Kriyas HaTorah B'Yachid, which the Rambam combines together under Hilchos Tefillah, that's number one. Why does the Shulchan Aruch number 2 insist that we classify Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum under Hilchos Shabbos? And in fact, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur B'Shabbos is likewise in Hilchos Shabbos. Question number 3. What's the machlokes between Tosfos and the Yesh Mefarshim? Is it Lozis or is it Dafka Targum? So those are the 3 questions that we have so far. Now, what I want to call to your attention is what I consider perhaps the most important question that we have to raise over here. As a general rule, when the Gemara, when the Shas presents an obligation for the first time, whether that obligation is d'oraisa or d'rabbanon perhaps, what does the Gemara usually do at that point? Certainly if it's d'oraisa. Exactly, minani mili or shenemar. You're right. Isn't it very odd that there doesn't seem to be any clue in the Gemara as to what the nature of this whole chiyuv is? Perhaps it's pshita, but I don't know. Rashi doesn't seem to add anything. And here, once again, I want to refer to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, again in that same paragraph on page 3, Sif Beis, says the following. And this is about, shall I count down, 5 lines from the beginning of that paragraph. Do you see what it says? V'isa b'sota. And when I read this, Isa b'sota, I think of the phrase in Chazal, I don't know if you're familiar with this phrase, Divrei Torah, Aniyim b'mkomam, v'ashirim b'mokom acher. What I mean to say is that sometimes you learn a sugya here, and you don't get any grasp on the sugya. The light that you have to shed on the sugya comes from a sugya elsewhere. You know, from Masechta Brachas to Masechta Sota is a long jump. What do they tell us in Masechta Sota? And this is the Chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan to connect the two sugyas. Chlolos upratos nemru b'sinai, v'nishnu b'oel moed, this is the Gemara in Sota, v'nishtal shalu b'arvos moed. Rabosai, who is the central figure here in this Gemara? Who is the persona? Moshe Rabbeinu. And how many times does Moshe Rabbeinu teach the Torah? Three times. Number one, he teaches it when he comes down from Sinai, and that's called Klolos Upratos. Number two, he goes into the old Moed, and the sugya not here, but in Erev, and goes through the whole Seder. First he invites Aaron, and then he invites Aaron Ubonav, and then Yoshua, the whole bit. And that's called the old Moed. And finally, at the end of his life, is that mine? At the end of his life, they're probably calling you from Canada to see if you're getting on the plane. And at the end of his life, Biarvas Moav. What's the significance of the Gemara in Sota for us here in Brachos? He says, Lachain, this is the Aruch HaShulchan speaking, Tzorech Lilmod Gimel Piyamim. It's got to be three. Shnayim Mikra V'yechet Targma, three reviews or readings, recitations of the Torah. Why three? Why not once? Why not twice? Why thrice? Why not four times? Who knows? He says that this is established by the way that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah. And the question I want to ask you is, why should that fact or that historical review of the Torah itself by Moshe Rabbeinu as codified by the Gemara and Sota have any bearing on the way I should fulfill my personal Chovas Yachid of Kriyas HaTorah on a weekly basis? So that, I don't know what, does anybody know what number question we're up to?
4 or 5.
Okay, 4 or 5. Whatever number you're up to.
Which of those is
I don't know. That's another question, a sub-question Michael's asking very well. You know, the number three is wonderful, but which one parallels the Targum? And for that, Michael, I want you to look, you know, use your eyes, I'm not ready for it yet, but to look ahead to Sif Gimel in the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay. Now I want to ask another question. Is the Chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum in the Seder Ayom, or is it the Seder Shavua? Is it what we call Yomi or Shvu'i? Is it that every day I should be learning one section, we'll call it 1/7 of the parasha, on a daily basis?
You bought the Chok Yisrael.
Okay, let's say you don't own the Chok Yisrael. Or is it Shvu'i? Meaning, there's only a finish line. You've got to read Shnayim Mikra D'Echad Shabbos by Shabbos, but you don't have to divide it up in any way, reflecting some sort of a daily dosage, if you will. Okay, so let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan, again, here in Sif Aleph, and again, I never would have known this in a million years. He says, on the fourth line, Yesh b'nei adam shenagim likro ma'at b'chol yom v'yom. Okay, it's a minug, but minug Yisrael Torah. I mean, I can give you a whole shiur today on minug. I'm going to give it on chutzlar. It's on this, the teeth and the significance of minug. But it's an interesting minug, bechol yom v'yom. And if you fast forward to page 4, he's going to have a whole suffix here in Sif Dalid as to how you should divide it up on a daily basis. Should you divide it up by chapters? Should you divide it up by parshios? There's something called the Parsha Stuma, Parsha Psucha. And apparently all this is very significant. So what's that all about? Okay. Then I have another question. Can I integrate or at least 1/3 of the Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, if not all three, but 1/3, into the Kriyas HaTorah of the Tzibur? Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch on page 1. This is again in Simon Reish Pei Hei, and fast forward for a moment to Sif Hei. He says, Yachol Likros HaParsha, Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum, B'Shas Kriyas HaTorah. Interesting. I can read at least. No, I think he says Likros. Likros usually means to speak, right? It's not just, listen. It sounds like you're reading. B'Shas Kriyas HaTorah. And then, for some reason, unbeknown to me, the Shallah is not happy about this. This is at the bottom of your page 2 in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Yudalit. He says that the Shallah is Machmir Bozeh. Now, I don't know why.
In what way?
Yeah. That you can't read along. Do you remember there used to be a series called Read Along with Mitch? You remember that?
Sing Along with Mitch.
There's no such thing as Sing Along with Mitch. That's an American thing. I apologize. What? Oh, you're talking about Trey Coley Lo Mishtamai. Okay, wait 1 second. So wait, you're brilliant, but you're one step ahead of me. Just give me one sentence and then we're ready for what you're saying. I want to understand something. Is the Shallah upset because of technical reasons, meaning how can you do this in decorum or in Trey Coley Mishnah? It's impossible. How can you read along with the Shliach Tzibur? You're supposed to be listening and you're supposed to be reading all at the same time. So the Shallah's objection here to the Shulchan Aruch is simply that, they say about Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski, back in the day in Litta, that he used to write two tshuvas simultaneously, one with his right hand, one with his left hand. Now look, I asked the psychiatrist, he said it's impossible. But, they don't say legends like that about you and me. Right? He's writing two different tshuvas, answering two different questions with two different hands. How can you at the same time read and listen and do both? That's one way of understanding the Shalom. Naturally, my style of learning. I like to make everything conceptual. And I would rather believe that the Shallah is upset at taking two kiyumim and trying to fulfill them in one integrated whole, than two separate divided kiyumim. If we hold, like the Rambam, that the Rambam classifies these halachas in Hilchos, Kriyas HaTorah, not Hilchos Shabbos. When I mean Kriyas HaTorah, I mean Hilchos Tefillah. Yeah. Then I understand that the Shallah makes no sense. Meaning, we can integrate both Kriyos, the Kriya of the Tzimu with the Kriya of the Yachid, and make it into one nice package. If on the other hand, the Halach of Shnayim Mikra Vechid Targum really belongs to a separate entity, and a separate Kiyum, and it's not to be integrated to Kriyas HaTorah, it stands on its own 2 feet, then the Shallah is right from a conceptual perspective. And this is called, again, in the Lashon HaShas at the end of Pesachim, Enos and Mitzvos, Chavilus, Chavilus. Didn't we discuss this here? I think we once discussed this. Chavilus, Chavilus, you don't integrate 2 kiyumim and try to get away cheap. Like you have one kuss, and you want to be mekayim 2 brachos or 1 kuss. 2 separate brachos.
Washing your hands when you get out of the
bathroom. Is that a problem of chavilus chavilus? Because the Aruch HaShulchan says you're allowed to do that.
You're allowed to do
that. Yeah. But here, he wants to be machmir. Okay, fine. What?
Doesn't bother me that you get 5 averos with 1 maaseh.
Right. In averos, you can do chavilus chavilus. Right. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Very good. In our shiurim in Masechta Makis, we're trying to maximize how many malkas you can be chayim for 1 meister. If a zar eats a carbonola before zrika outside the azara, outside of Yerushalayim, how many malkas is he chayim? But I'll tell you the truth, the reason why I'm very hesitant to classify the Shallah as something technical is because look at the Mishnah Berurah himself. He himself says, Ubikomakom Nira, you see towards the end of the paragraph? The likro belachash mila bimila im hashatz, eilahachbir bazeh. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah finds no objection on a technological level to be able to implement both listening and reading at the same time, despite Trei Koli Lo Mishtamai. And we have to add the concept of Chavivale and extend Chavivale from Kriyas HaMegillah and apply it to Kriyas HaTorah, which is very problematic. But he says, Ein La'achmer b'zeh mikevan shemechavein oz gam lishmo kol teva mipi ashatz. Since he has kavanah to listen to every teva mipi ashatz, at the same time he could whisper in a low voice the lachash and read every single word and save himself a lot of time if he's a rushed guy. So what is the shaloh saying? I mean, the shaloh wasn't smart enough to figure this out. Maybe the shaloh felt that that you should be concentrating on the the kriya of the tzibur. You know, concentrate means to not just to hear it physically, because it bounces in through your ears, your station tubes. But you have to have it somehow in your mind as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
They say about Rav Aaron Kotler that if he came into a shul and the Baal Kori was not familiar with him, he would ask Mechila. Why? Because every few sentences he would stop the Baal Kori and ask him to repeat. Because every time he heard a sentence, he started thinking of another sugyan shah, so he couldn't concentrate on the next part.
What did you say? It was an answer from the Kash of the money. Zeshin and Bezeshin. Yeah,
but
it's a strict
Sibyl's creed,
whether
they're choosing. Right. But Zeshinu Vezeshinu doesn't allow you to do both at the same time, but the Mishnah Berurah is okay with that. You can do both at the same time. So that's why I'm tempted to think, and I think Yehuda, maybe you were hinting at this in your first comment when we started, I just wasn't ready for it, sorry, yeah. That the point of the Shalah is conceptual. He sees in Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum a separate cue, not to be integrated into Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, and therefore you don't do both mitzvahs at the same time. Even though you could, right, physiologically, technologically you could, says the Mishnah Berurah, there's no technical problem, but there's a problem in Hilchus mitzvahs, that you don't do two mitzvahs together. So that we could perhaps suggest the following, that there are two ways of understanding Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum. One way is that Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum is really part and parcel of the Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And which one of the sources that we've been mentioning over and over again today would certainly seem to project that idea. That both Kriyas HaTorah of the Tzibur and Kriyas HaTorah of the Yachid are integrated to form one whole. They really belong to one kiyum. The Rambam, exactly, because the Rambam combines them together, and he points out that even though you've already been yotzei this same mitzvah of Kriya B'Tzibur, nevertheless, I want to add another chiyuv, namely Kriyas HaTorah B'Yachid. And that's the Rambam at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. So that's one way of understanding Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum. The other way of understanding Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum is that this is not part of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, but rather it's part of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And here I want to ask a different question. So if you have a flow chart here, you've got A and B, and then B divides up, subdivides into A and B. If it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what's the nature of this mitzvah of Talmud Torah? One way of defining Talmud Torah is Limud HaTorah, which meaning understanding the Torah. The other way of defining Talmud Torah is to duplicate or replicate Mesiras HaTorah. What do I mean? You saw that the Aruch HaShulchan, quoting the Gemara in Sota, derives the number 3 of Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum from the method by which Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah. And therefore, according to that understanding of the Aruch HaShulchan with the Gemara and Sota, I would suggest, I would present the following thesis. That it's not just enough to learn Torah, but rather we have to duplicate that Torah in the very same way that it was received by Moshe and transmitted to Klal Yisrael. In other words, it's not coincidental that just like Moshe Rabbeinu passed on the Torah not once, not twice, but thrice, so too we, in duplicating that experience of Mesiras HaTorah, of learning the Torah, we have to learn it once, twice, and thrice. Now, what's the nafkamina between calling it Talmud Torah and saying it's a replica of Mesiras HaTorah? I think the nafkamina between the Tosus and the Yesh Mefarshim about the significance of Targum. We saw in the Gemara in Nedarim, quoted here by the Aruch HaShulchan, that Targum was given at Har Sinai. Is Memela, if I'm duplicating Har Sinai, if Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum is a Mesiras HaTorah, then I am confined to Targum, because with all due respect to French, English, and Spanish, that is not upgraded to the status of Mesiras HaTorah. The Torah was given in Lashon Kodesh, and the Torah was given in Targum, which is close to Lashon Kodesh, and Targum has a special status, a Chalushem Mesiras HaTorah, that doesn't exist with regard to other languages. On the other hand, if I would pick up Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum as a halach of Talmud Torah, then I would say, at least for me personally, Targum is not my vernacular, it's not my spoken language. Expand my Talmud Torah by reading it, or translating it, into a language that I understand. And that's the Yesh Mefarsh. This could possibly have a spin-off with regard to Atoros V'divon. Because Tosus insists that although Targum Unkelus does not offer us a Targum on Atoros and Divon, in the second Tosus on Chesam and Beis, on Chesam and Beis, but neither does Targum offer any sort of translation of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, of any names in the Torah. Why did the Gemara say Afilu Atoros V'Divon? Says Tosfos, because Atoros V'Divon does have a translation. It does have a Targum. Although not Targum Unkelus, but Targum Yerushalmi. And Tosfos at the end actually advocates that in this case we should read the Targum Yerushalmi. He says, "V'yesh lomar at the end of Dima Maskev Afilu Mishum Hachi Nokat Atoros V'Divon Afagav Shein Bo Targum Yodua El Targum Yishalmi." He says, "Tov Yosel Likros Pam Shlishes B'Targum," and he adds the word Yishalmi here in the footnote, so that it means that I have to find the Targum. The Chiddush of Tosfos is that Targum Yishalmi also has the status of Targum, and in event that there is a Targum in Yerushalmi, but not Targum in Unkelus, then what I do is I plug in, I substitute Targum Yerushalmi for Targum Unkelus. If, on the other hand, we're talking in terms of Talmud Torah, I doubt if translating Atoros V'Divon into another language would have any status whatsoever in the kiyum of Talmud Torah. But Rabosa, I want to go beyond that. You remember that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes a minog, that you should read a little bit of Targum, you should accomplish some, a seventh, we'll call it, of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum on a daily basis. I would say the following. Mitzad Mesiras HaTorah, to duplicate the transmission of Torah, I don't know that there's a separate halach of Yom, that the day itself engenders a particular chiyuv to replace and to imitate the Mesiras HaTorah. However, I'm going to say a chiddush here, that I believe that in Hilchas Talmud Torah, there's a halacha of Yom. The day itself engenders a chiyuv of Talmud Torah. What would be a source for that conclusion? Kriyat Shema, okay, that's good. V'igisa bo yomah v'layla. The Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin, and it's codified by the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, li'olam yeshalesh adam zmano b'chol yom. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, v'shlish b'tarash bal peh. Now what's the difference between Mishnah and Torah Shebal Peh? Rashi says that the Mishnah itself is the codified Mishnah as we know it. Torah Shebal Peh is what we call Talmud, which the Rambam actually, when he codifies this halach, he leaves out the word Torah Shebal Peh. Instead he replaces it with Talmud. And that is Lahavin Dover Midover, Lahavin Taimea Mitzvahs, Lahakshos Stiros, and to try to find the underlining meaning of the halachas. But Rabosai, the Gemara at simple, straightforward pshat means that I have to divide up the day of Talmud Torah into three equal parts. And who understands it that way? None other than the Rambam. The Rambam gives an example of your average Jew, and he says the following. 3 hours a day, he goes out to get a parnasa. Okay, that's not exactly what we're used to. And then he says, 9 hours a day, he dedicates to Talmud Torah. Three of those nine, he dedicates to Torah Shebichsav, to Mikra, three to Mishnah, and three to Talmud. But what you see, Rabosai, is that the Yom itself engenders not only a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but even more than that, a specific discipline in Talmud Torah, the three disciplines in Talmud Torah. It's like, for example, if someone's in pre-med, right, in college, so he's got to take X number of courses in biology, and X number of courses in anatomy, and in chemistry, and then you get to the killer, which is called organic chemistry. I only know this from my son. And there are disciplines. You have to be very well disciplined. And in Talmud Torah, a person has to be disciplined. The Rambam goes on to say that that's only b'tchilas limudo, but when he gets more advanced, then he dedicates his full-time learning to Talmud, and from time to time he reviews Mikra and Mishnah. But there is such a thing as a daily dosage of Talmud Torah. In fact, Tosafos in Masechta Kiddushin says the Talmud Bavli is we generally have the minhag of dedicating ourselves to Talmud Bavli. He says, where's the Mikra, where's the Mishnah? The answer is that Bavli is Milashon Bolul Min HaKol. Not in Babylonia, but in Lashon Kodesh, Bavel means it's Bolul Min HaKol. It integrates all disciplines. It's like I'm touching base with all three disciplines by studying Talmud Bavli. In a similar way, Chazal wanted to guarantee that on a daily basis, according to this minhag quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan, I should be mekayim something special in Mikra. True, when I look at the Torah as a corpus that's all encompassing, then I divide it up into three equal parts, and Torah has the same status, Mikra has the same status as Mishnah and Talmud. But when I get down to Mikra itself, and how should I be learning Mikra, there's a daily dosage, there's a discipline on a daily basis of studying Mikra. And the way Chazal organizes that daily Mikra should reflect 1/7 of what I study for the entire week. And every week has its section of Torah Shebichsav, and that section of Torah Shebichsav should be subdivided into 7 days, and there's a daily dosage and discipline for the weekly Mikra of that week's parsha. Good. Now the Aruch HaShulchan has a fascinating suffix. And this you'll find on page 4. And he wants to know, whether or not I study on a daily basis the parsha, which means the psucha or stuma, or I'm not committed, I'm not limited by the parsha, I just have to figure out what is comfortable for me, what is logical for me. you know, that our chumashim are divided into prakim. I mean, I don't think that that has any chal shem and halacha, but nevertheless, when we read a perek, it's a unit of thought, of analysis. What would be the yesod of this machlokes, this controversy, about whether I'm committed to read a parsha in Shnai Mikra Vechet Targum as a parsha, the way it was given at Har Sinai, with stumos and psuchos? That's all part of the halacha l'moshim, the Mesiris HaTorah. If we say that Shnai Mikra Vechet Targum is Talmud Torah per se, then why should I be bound by parshas psuchos and stumos? I can very often connect two different parshas logically and integrate them into one educational unit, one intellectual unit with a theme, a beginning and an end. But if on the other hand, my goal in Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum is to duplicate Mesiris HaTorah, I might be confined, as the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, to the various parshas of the Torah, the way it was given in Har Sinai with psuchos and stumos. And this, my friends, I think, will bring us back to our original question. What is Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum? Is it part and parcel of the Kriya that's read B'tzibur on Shabbos? Or is it an independent Kiyum? If I view it as part of the Kiyum of Talmud Torah, as it's of the Parsha, as it's read B'tzibur, what is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, which was established way back at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? Go ahead, Tony.
Wasn't it that time a 3-year cycle?
Correct, it was a 3-year cycle. The Rambam points out here in Hilchas Talmud Torah, in Hilchas Tefillah, that the end, I think it's the end of Perek Yud, beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Minig Pashim Chol Yisrael, Shemashlim Es HaTorah Bishana Achas. Okay, that's the minig that was accepted over the course of time. But it's very interesting that the source for Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur is one of two verses in the Torah, either the parash of Hakel or the pasuk that says V'ata Amod Po Imadi. But in either case, what we're doing is we're looking at the Torah the way it was given in the Tzibur. In fact, those who have the minhag of standing for Kriyas HaTorah, it's because the Mesiris HaTorah at Har Sinai was Ba'amida. Klal Yisrael, because of the awesome experience of Kabbalas HaTorah, was standing. And we have to duplicate the way the Torah was given then. If that be the case, it doesn't surprise me that insofar as Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum is a kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah integrated into the Tzibur, I have to integrate myself into the Tzibur. How do I do so? And the answer is that I have to read Parshios the way that we're given in our Sinai. I have to read 3 times. And why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah and transmitted it 3 times. And perhaps this could shed a light on the Levush. The Levush says something which is very cute. And when I saw it, I kind of smiled. But is there a deeper meaning here in this Levush? Take a look on page 3 of Yomar Makomos in the Aruch HaShulchan, and he quotes the Levush.
Which Sif?
Where's the Levush? I think it's Sif Beis, if I'm not mistaken. What does the Levush say? I'll say it out loud and you'll find it. He said, where's the
second line?
He says the following.
Thank you.
Just 1 second. No, that's not the Levush. Yeah, no, that's not the Levush I'm looking for. That is the Levush, but that's not the one. Okay. Anyway, I'll say it over and you'll find it for me. I just don't. Oh, here it is. It's at the end of Sifa Alf. Levush says the following. It says, V'eila shmos b'nei Yisrael. Okay. Now, Rabos, I take a look at the word V'eila with the Vav and the Aleph and the Lamed and the Hay. And he says that the V'eila means the following. It means V'chayav Adam Likros HaParsha. Do you see that? So in those four words, you should bold the first letter in each of those words, and you end up v'ela. And then the pasuk goes on, it says shmos. And shmos is shnayim mikra v'yechad tark. Very cute. Is there perhaps a deeper significance into this insight or this comment of the Levush? And perhaps the answer is yes. The emphasis here is on Bnei Yisrael. Meaning, the chiyuv in its original form is on Bnei Yisrael as a tzibur. Now, I have to integrate myself into the tzibur. And how do I do so? By reading it on my own as a yachid. So now the yachid integrates himself into the tzibur. If this be the case, then perhaps we could understand the psak of the machaber that we mentioned earlier, that you could read along with Mitch. Why? Because you're integrating really one kiyum. In other words, the shnayim mikra v'yechad tagum is not an entity, a kiyum unto itself, independent of the chovas tzibur. No, it's part and parcel of the chovas tzibur. The way the Rambam seems to combine the two together. And therefore the fact that the Mishnah Berurah says it's possible to both hear and read at the same time, and therefore I could be mekayim my reading as a linkage into the tzibur. In other words, the way we're saying it now, maybe it would even be adif, maybe it would even be, you know, we should advocate in favor of reading along with the Bal Korei. I know the language of the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit ambiguous. He says, Mikomakom Nira at the bottom of your page 2, the likro belachash mila bimila im hashatz ein lahach mir bozeh. From Agana from Hevi Sham Beshem Mate Moshe Dilachat Chila Nochon Lasos Ken. The Mate Moshe is one of the early Ashkenazic poskim, which the Mishnah Berurah relies on left, right, and center. And here, the Mate Moshe advocates l'chatchila to enhance and embellish your mitzvah by reading along with the Shalish Liach Tzibur. And that's one third of the Shnayim Mikra V'chatagim. The answer is he needs that tziruf. What's the mitzaref between the Yochid and the Rabbim? It's not only that I'm reading the same parsha that's going to be read on Shabbos by the Tzibur, but rather I'm actually reading my Maisa Mitzvah integrates both hearing and listening at the same time, which the Mishnah Berurah claims is absolutely possible. And by doing so, this is the most profound expression or demonstration of linkage between the Yochid and the Tzibur. That the Shnayim Mikra V'yechad Targum has to be together with the Tzibur. And we're going to soon see that the poskim want you to read, you know, finish the parsha if you can, before the Kriya. Wake up early if you're not ready, if you're not finished yet, and make up whatever you're missing before the Shliach Tzibur reads, because the Yachid has to link up into the Tzibur. Once the Tzibur has already fulfilled its Chiyuv, it's already too late to create that Mitzarev. On the other hand, as we saw in the Minog quoted here by the Aruch HaShulchan, that one should read Shnayim Mikra V'yechad Targum on a daily basis, which sounds like a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, like we spoke about Yashlish Adam Limudo, and it's purely a Talmud Torah. We saw that the Yesh Mepharshim and Tosfos advocate reading it in Lazis Bilaz, so that they'll guarantee that they understand it. That makes it into a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And here there's a pella of a chiddush that's actually quoted la'alacha in the Mechaber on page 1 of Yemar Makomos page, which I think is absolutely fabulous until he gets to the Yerush Shamayim part, and that is that I can be okay without Targum. And what could I substitute for Targum? Rashi. Where is that Sif? Sif Beis, he says, "Im lomad aparsha b'pirud Rashi choshev kimo targum." Clearly, this shita is advocating the definition of chiyuv shnayim mikra v'yechad targum as what? As Talmud Torah. If it's Talmud Torah, I'm probably a lot better off with Rashi than I am with Targum. Rashi certainly embellishes way beyond the Targum. In fact, when we need Targum, as Tosafot says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda in Megillah, he needed Targum. Rashi, you can be totally convinced and calm that Rashi is going to quote the Targum. Because Rashi, Keseder says, Kitargumo. Therefore, I would advocate that there are two different ways of understanding Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum. As we said, one way is to see it as an extension of and part of the kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. That would certainly seem to be the Rambam's understanding of it. And the other way of understanding it is that it's Talmud Torah, and Chazal organized that the Talmud Torah with regard to Mikra should fit into a very organized way in which we do this, which is called Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum. Within the context of Talmud Torah, we might even add another dimension to this mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum, and that is to duplicate Mesiras HaTorah. And finally, the Safek of the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Gimel. And then with this, I'll leave you. Sif Gimel, he says on the bottom of page 3, V'yesh l'stapek ibe'inon dafka shnayim mikra kodem v'achakar targum o sheyotza kishakara mikra v'targum v'mikra. And from the fact that we saw in the Mechaber that he advocates, and the Mishnah Berurah, the name of the Mata Moshe, that he advocates reading along with the Shliach Tzibur, it would sound like he's already done Shnayim. Excuse me. He's already done Echad Mikra, the Echad Targum, and he's completing the process by reading along with the Shliach Tzibur. That's the third. It doesn't have to be there for Shnayim Mikra. And then Echad Targum, it could be Echad Mikra, Echad Targum. And finally, Mikra. But I don't understand the whole suffix of the Aruch HaShulchan. Like, why should there be a Kpeda on a particular sequence? And moreover, no one seems to allow you to read the Targum first. That's not even on the page. If it's just a matter of getting three readings in, and Targum is considered a recitation, why not even begin with Targum? That doesn't even seem to be mentioned. And perhaps this comes back to Michael's point from before, that in Sif Beis, we saw in the Aruch HaShulchan, he quotes the Gemara in Sota. And the question is the following. We started with Sinai, and then we got to Ohel Moed. And finally, we ended up with Arvos Moav. The question is, what happened in Ohel Moed? And the obvious question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu already transmitted the Torah when he came down from Har Sinai, why did he have this private sitting, so to speak, with Aaron and Bnei Aaron, and then with Yoshua? And I think the answer might lie in this word, Vinishnu. What does it mean, Vinishnu? Some people, I think, mistakenly translate the word Vinishnu as to review it, meaning a second time. That's not it. Shinud means what? Limut. In other words, in addition to the first round, in which Moshe Rabbeinu simply, like a, how would you say, I don't want to use the word tuki, but like a robot, you know, sort of what words he just repeats word for word. Here in the second time, he invites certain individuals in order to teach them. That's called Nishnu, Beol Moed. What was the purpose of, and why did he choose these individuals? Because we have two Torahs, not just one Torah. And these were the individuals who were in charge. They took on the responsibility of Mesiras HaTorah. They had the tzava. And if you take a look at the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah Torah, you'll see this. There was the Torah wasn't just given over. It was nitztavu aleha. Nitztavu aleha means you're in charge. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to submit the Torah to you, Yoshua. And now Yoshua, as the Mishnah says at the beginning of Amos, you have to pass it on, transmit the Torah. And insofar as you're responsible for the transmission of the Torah, you have to know not just the Torah the way it was given at Har Sinai in the Lashon of Mikra, which is Lashon HaKodesh, you also have to know Shinun. You have to understand the Torah. There's got to be a Torah Shebal Peh. And this would support the view which the Aruch HaShulchan ascribes to the Mechaber, that the order could be Mikra, Targum, and Mikra. Why? Because the second Mesiras HaTorah, namely that of Ol Moed, was Shinun. That's what Targum is. Targum is Shinun. Because Targum, as Tosfos points out, based on Rabbi Yehuda Megillah, is meant to embellish and expand my understanding. It's not just a verbatim translation. So that it makes sense that Targum could be integrated and sandwiched in the middle between Echad Mikra and Echad Mikra. In the middle comes Targum. But there was never a Havamina that Targum could come before Mikra. Because you cannot embellish the Torah Shemitzav with Torah Shemal Peh of Targum, and Targum is a specific, unique Chaloshem Torah Shemal Peh of Mikra, meaning it's an understanding of Mikra without reading the Mikra first. It's only after you read the Mikra, then and only then, can you embellish that Mikra with a Pirush on that Mikra, and the codified, bona fide, accepted, canonized, Mikra embellishment of Mikra, Pirush on Mikra, is Targum. And Tosfos insists that we have to read Targum. The Chiddush of the Mechaber, which we'll soon see, is not accepted by most poskim, that it's good enough to read Rashi. That makes sense only if I view Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum as a kiyum of Talmud Torah and Talmud Torah per se. Talmud Torah not as a duplication of Mesiras HaTorah, but even the Mechaber is not so comfortable with this, with reading Rashi, and he writes that Yirei Shamayim Yikra Targum V'gam Pirush Rashi, meaning you should be yotzei both conceptual definitions of this chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum. If we define Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum conceptually as a Mesiras HaTorah, then we need Targum. If we define it as Talmud Torah, Limud, and Havanas HaTorah, then we need Rashi. It's best to do both, and therefore Yirei Shamayim will accomplish the, shall we say, the full chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
Alright.
Okay.
When's the next time we're going to meet?
In Mirtz Hashem, 2 weeks from today. Believe me, I mean, I arrive on that Tuesday. Hopefully, somehow, I'll be able to put myself together and prepare.
I knew you were going to think my tzonis. It was yesterday in the Rami Levy. And I get to the pair check. And the little woman starts yelling at me.
I was going to translate.